Jesus and be seated in God's presence. Praise the Lord, I'm finally on the Covenant Highway of Life. Congratulations to you. Amen and amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, people are glad to see this bright day, this glorious day, the 21st of May 2023. We give God all the glory and all the praise. I am redeemed, the wonder to my world. If that is you, say that loud and clear. If you believe it, say it convincingly. Unlocking the Supernatural, part 3. We continue this morning, this part 3 in our teaching series for our Sunday services in this month of May 2023. Unlocking the Supernatural. Again, I want to say, by way of introduction, that the supernatural is the manifestation of the word we receive, believe, and obey. We say a lot, we preach a lot, but the word must be received. The word received must be believed. You must believe the word, and you must obey the word. Please always be reminded, all cell phones should be silenced, please. Let's show responsibility in the house of God. The manifestation of the word we receive, we believe, and obey. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we've said, you cannot manifest except you have a certain nature which Christ has given to us by birth. He said, you know, Nicodemus, Jesus said to Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see these things. And we've been looking at a picture of who we are by redemption, who we are in Christ, looking at the mirror of the Word of God, James 1:23. The Word of God is described as a mirror, and it's the mirror of the Lord that reveals our true identity. It shows us who we are. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Psalm 40 and verse 7, the same thing. I come in the volume of the book. So the book reveals who we are. You must know who you are. What life and circumstance dictates to you is not who you are. You have to find out, receive what the word have said concerning you, believe it, and you begin to manifest it. So who am I by redemption? We've looked at, you know, a number of points, and we'll continue this morning. Who am I by redemption? Who are you by redemption? Number one for today, by redemption, I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And this is very, very key. This is something that we must live in the consciousness of it. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8 and verse 17, Paul gave us this understanding. He said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. So that means we have an inheritance of glory in him. And who is an heir? I looked it up on the dictionary.com. It says, a heir is a person who inherits or has a right of inheritance in the property of another following the latter's death. We had a testimony, you know, a few months ago, how someone came here and testified that she went to, you know, our home country and discovered that I think the granddad had left tons of properties for her. And she went there and claimed all the properties. Because that, you know, great-grandfather or that grandfather died, and now she is entitled to an inheritance. So it's someone who inherits or has an inheritance, a right of inheritance in the property of another. If you've ever done a will or a trust, they tell you to name those, you know, your assets, and also those that you want to, how you want it, you know, distributed after you have lived a long old age and you are gone. So an heir is someone that who inherits it or has the right of inheritance. And look at that. Christ has died. So because Christ has died, there is something that we are entitled to because of his death. Without death, there cannot be a legal transfer. So the death of Christ has now made us, you know, he has positioned us to be able to lay hold on the things that God has given unto us. Amen. So the death of Christ is what's transferred. That's why I said in Revelation 5:12, he said, what is the lamb that died, that was slain to receive for us power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. The lamb was slain. So death has occurred. So we have every legal right to lay hold on the inheritance that he has given unto us. If you understand, shout aloud, amen. Amen. That's why when he went on the cross, he said, it is finished. So his death on the cross is joy for us. The Roman soldiers thought this is the end of this man. The God of this world thought that he had captured Jesus, but didn't know that that was needed for us to have a legal right to the blessings of redemption. Someone shout, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
So his death has given us the right to lay hold on every blessing of redemption. Who is an heir? The dictionary.com continues in the definition. He said, a heir is a person who inherits or is entitled to inherit the rank, the title, position of another. Take note of those three things. The rank of someone, the title of that person, and the position of that person. So that means after resurrection, he gave us right to his rank. He gave us right to his title. He gave us right to his position. For instance, it's true he gave us right to his rank, because Colossians 2:10 says, I am complete. You are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. So by redemption, you have, you know, inheritance, you have, you know, access to that rank of Christ. He said, I'm complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. He gave us right to inherit his title. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his holy name. He gave us power. What does power mean? Power means the right. It means the authority. It means the privilege. So he gave it to us. So we are heirs with him and joint heirs with Christ. The Amplified Version says, but to as many as did receive him, he gave the right. And he amplified that right, said, that is the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is to those who believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. So redemption gave us the title of sonship. It gave us the title of sonship. That some people that don't believe that anyone can ever be a son of God. That no, you can't be. The highest you can be is just a servant. No, redemption gave us the right to that title. He said he gave us to become. We didn't attain it. He gave it to us. He gave us the right to become the sons of God. Also, we have that position. He said God has raised us up together and has made us sit together in heavenly places at his right hand. So we have inheritance to that position. He has raised him up. Now we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So these are the things that you must be conscious of. That by the death of Christ, I am an heir of Christ. I have rights to his rank. I have rights to his title. I have rights to, you know, his his position. I have his rank. So therefore, I am above every power of darkness. I have his rank. I am above. You can imagine now, you are called, you are enlisted in the army, and somehow they give you the rank of a general. You walk in the consciousness of that you have that rank. And whatever obeys, whatever bounds to the authority of that rank, bounds to your authority. You can give commands because you were given that. It was given to you. And that was what Christ did for us. He gave it to us. So we are heirs with him and joint heirs with Christ. If you believe that, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Romans 8, he said, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, they are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. So whatever Christ is, we have that joint, privilege with him. He said he's the firstborn among many brethren. So we have that joint privilege with him. We have that joint privilege with him. Because we have identified with him. And I'm talking about those that have received Christ into their heart as Lord and Savior. That's why Jesus said to the Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the realities of this thing. So if you are born again, and which another opportunity will be given after this message, then you are a partaker of everything that is in Christ. If you believe that, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Number two, by redemption, the supernatural is my natural lifestyle in redemption. The supernatural is my natural lifestyle. Said the wind blows, our key text for the month, where it leads, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it goes. It says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That means this is the normal occurrence with them. They looked at Jesus and they said, what kind of wisdom is this? They said, what manner of man is this? So we are people to be wondered at. Behold, I am the children that the Lord has given unto me. We are for what? We are for signs and wonders. So we are people that others should wonder at, that they look at us and they can't explain certain things. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, a man cannot do all these things except God be with him. So that means he also acknowledged that there is something beyond natural in the life of Jesus. And that should be our story everywhere we find ourselves. In our workplace, they should look at us and find out that there is something beyond the natural that is at work in us. They may not be able to explain it, but there is something. There is just something. There may have another terminology for it, but it's God. It is God. It is just God. That there is something about you. There is something unique about you. Whenever your own shift, everything is just calm. At your own shift, there is no emergency. Your own shift, everything just work out well. That because you are in this company, things are just working out. That they can't even afford to lose you. Because there is something beyond the natural working in your life. If you understand, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
And I know that by the anointing this morning, that seal of the supernatural shall come upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. So your life should not be limited to the natural. There is a super and the natural. The super comes upon the natural. And that is what we are talking about. That means the hand of God coming upon you and making your life beyond the natural occurrence. The magician said to Pharaoh, they said, this is the finger of God. He said, we cannot counter this because this is beyond the natural. This is the finger of God. They said concerning Paul, the gods are come to us in the likeness of men. In other words, what we see in this man is like that of the gods. It's like that of the gods, because that was their level of understanding. That was their level of understanding. Say, the gods. The gods. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have a friend and a former colleague. Whenever I pray, he said, the God of heaven and the gods of the land will bless you. I don't know why he does that. Amen. Because to their own understanding, amen. The guy is very, he's not a chief. He's like the God of, and the gods of the land. He prays in both names. You know, that is their Lord, their own level of understanding, that all the things we are seeing is only God's. And they were right to some extent. They explained it based on their own level of understanding. From now, everything about you will not be limited to the natural.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, I am redeemed to have dominion over death. I am redeemed to have dominion over death. Dominion over death. He said, I call heaven and hell to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both you and your seed may live. So that means life is a choice and death is also a choice. So it depends on what you choose. And your choice may not necessarily be what you confess, it may be what is in what you are conscious of. Many are more conscious of death than life. He said, choose life so that you and your seed may live. Many are more conscious of the fact that life may be cut short more than the truth that there is longevity in Christ. So which one do you weigh higher? Say, choose life that you and your seed may live. Choose life. Choose life. So for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he said, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death it might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan had the power of death, but when Jesus went to the cross, he died. He went to hell and collected the keys. He collected the keys from Satan. There was a transfer of power and authority when Jesus died. So Satan had it. That's true. There's no doubt about that. But at redemption, when Jesus died, he took that power. That power was taken from him. Now he said, and now I have the keys of life and death. And if you are on God's side, then that key will be used to your advantage. He said, those that were in bondage who through the fear of death. So what Satan uses right now is the fear. Because fear will always attract. Fear is a negative force. It has magnetic force that attracts evil. It attracts evil. That's why I said, those both are presented to you, but you choose life. When you choose life, then you exercise the dominion that Christ has won for us. Then you exercise that key of life that is in his hands, that is ready to use to advantage. If you understand, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
So Christ justified us unto life. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, including life? Because in Romans 5 and verse 18, he said, the free gift of life came upon all. He said, by the offense of one, judgment came, but even by so, the righteousness of one, the free gift, which includes life. He said, the enemy comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Tell your neighbor, I have a free gift of life. Tell your neighbor, I have free gift of life. Tell your neighbor, I have free gift of life. Revelations 1:18, I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. I have the keys. And remember, we are joint heirs with him. So if he has the keys, then we can partner with him so that the key is used to our advantage. So let every fear of death leave you. Let every fear or every consciousness of death leave you. Because Christ said he has come to give us life and have it more abundantly. Be more conscious of longevity. Be more conscious of the abundance of life that he has offered to us. Choose life that you may live. If you choose life, shout it loud. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how do I command the supernatural? We've looked at the power of the word, the power of faith, and today we are looking at the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the grand commander of the supernatural. The Holy Ghost is the grand commander of the supernatural. You know, in the prophecy of the outpouring of the Spirit in Joel, he said, "It shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." He said, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Look at the next verse. He said, "And I will show wonders." So the Holy Ghost is the spirit of wonder. When you talk about the supernatural, you know, it's the Holy Ghost is in charge. So you command the Holy Ghost by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why, you know, command the supernatural by the power of the Holy Ghost. Right after Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Spirit, the next chapter, Peter and John, being filled with the Holy Ghost, were going to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. And they met a man that they had seen all this while. That was not the first time that man was there. They had seen him. But they had just been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they looked at him and they said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And we saw the wonder. Acts chapter 5, he said, "They brought forth the sick into the streets and led them, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." We saw wonders. Acts of the Apostles is actually the acts of the Holy Ghost done through the apostles that yield themselves to him. We saw wonders by the Holy Ghost, wonders by the Holy Ghost, wonders by the Holy Ghost. That's why we must continue to desire, you know, growth in the Holy Ghost. You know, salvation is a measure of the Spirit. At the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a measure of the Spirit, but it's not limited to that. We continue to grow. We continue to grow. There's a picture in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, you know, different measures of growth, talking about the ankle, the knees, the loins, and the river, the overflowing river. That's why we must continue. We must continue. We must continue to grow in our level in the Holy Spirit. And it takes its test. He said, "Oh Lord, hardly will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you to see your power, to continue to grow, and your glory, even as I've seen you in the sanctuary." They were filled in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says they prayed, and where the place where they were prayed was shaken as they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened in chapter 2? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 4 again, they came and they were filled. That means there is room for growth. They were filled by the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And verse 33, it said, "And with great power." Remember Acts 1:8, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you." Now in 4:33 said, "Now with great power." So there is need for increase, for growth in our walk with God. There is need for increase with great power. Because our level of anointing is what determines our level of command of the supernatural. If you understand, shout aloud, amen. You know, in John 3 and verse 34, the Bible talks about Jesus that was given the Spirit without measure. He said he was given the Spirit without measure. That's the CJB says, because he was giving, he said, for God does not give the Spirit in limited degrees. So that means his anointing was not limited. For God does not give him the Spirit in limited degree. It grew to a point that it became unlimited in the anointing. The Amplified said, for God gives the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, without measure, generously and boundlessly. But we grow into that. And all of us, we are still growing. But we have to keep pressing. We have to keep pressing. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we must continue. Now we fast every Wednesday. Why? Principally, so that we can continue to grow in the school of power. Amen. Why do we need the Spirit of power? Why do we need the Holy Ghost? Number one, we need him because power is needed to do exploits. Power is needed to do exploits. Isaiah 45, we talked about a man called Cyrus. Bible says, thus says to his anointed. Anointed then means the one that is empowered. He said, whose right hand have I held to subdue nations before him? He said to his empowered. He said to his anointed. He said to him who was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. He said he will subdue nations. So we need power to do exploits. Said, through God we shall do valiantly. For he is that tread, for he, it is that shall tread down our enemies. So we need God. We need his power to do exploits. We need his power. Jesus said to the apostles, he said, don't try to do it. He said, greater works than this will you do. And I'm sure they were excited. But he said, you know what? Don't try this. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And as they tarried, Acts chapter 1, you know, we saw that the day of Pentecost came. Then we saw how they began. And Acts chapter 2, Pentecost came and they began to do great things. If they had done it, if they had tried it in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus said that, you know, it would have been disaster. But they tarried. They tarried. And it didn't even end on the day of Pentecost. They continued. That's why I said chapter 4 later on, now great power. They continued. That's why, you know, there's need for continuity. A lot of factors, the word of God, exercises, fellowship like this, you know, we continue to grow in power. Because power is needed to do exploits. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus in Luke chapter 4, and his fame went abroad. He began to do great and mighty things. I know that after this service, after this anointing, you begin to do great and mighty things. You will do greater exploits in the name of Jesus. Also, power is needed to overcome evil. Power is needed to overcome evil. It says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. It says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. There are two things with your enemies. Is either they rule over you or you rule in the midst of them. And what makes the difference? Power. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And how does that come? By reason of being empowered. So rule in the midst of your enemies. So the people shall be willing in the day of their power and in the beauties of holiness. So we must commit to growing in power. You know, we must commit. You know, revelation. You can't grow in power without revelation because you must see it. So that means we must commit to seeking the word of God. You can't grow in power without exercises, you know, prayer and fasting and the rest, fellowship, coming together to